The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And I think it was quite funny to see the huge amount of donations he received after being convicted. I think at one point they were pulling in about $2 million an hour, which, of course, upset all the Democrats. I think the entire charade of fake prosecution backfired on them massively. But I don't think in 2016 we ever had Trump leading in any of the states. Anyway, everyone always thought, you know, that he had no chance of winning. The fact that we are seeing all of these polls, it's looking like this is going to be hopefully a landslide for President Trump.
To me, it's not that Donald Trump is winning so big in Iowa. That's not the story. It's that he's making it close in Minnesota. Minnesota is a reliable Democratic state. It votes Democrat in every presidential campaign. And poll after poll, I see Trump within 2 or 3 points in Minnesota. I don't think the media understands exactly what's going on right now. Yes, Trump dropped a few points after being found guilty on 34 felony accounts. But remember this, that would have destroyed any candidate as recently as 10 years ago. And the fact that Donald Trump is still even with, or in some cases leading Joe Biden after being found guilty of 34 felonies, that is so significant.
But the fact that Biden is not pulling in the money like he used to be, and the money that he is pulling in is from Hollywood donors. You see him going out there. He's visiting all the rich people in the liberal world. Meanwhile, Trump is taking small money from everyday people. And I think that shows you which side each of these candidates are on. Trump is really out there representing the everyday American man. And those people are struggling.
Pulling in all of those donations from everyday Americans. Donald Trump still crushing it in all of the polls. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you visit the Rumble channel, make sure you give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment as well. June 21st, take your dog to work day. That's what today is. My new favorite holiday or national, whatever it is. In any event, there you see my dog out after a pretty good workout a while back. She is going to make her television debut today, not just with footage. She's actually coming into the studio. She's in the green room even as we speak. She's getting everything taken care of, makeup, hair, all of that good stuff. And she will be visiting you at the very end of today's show. If that doesn't give you enough to stay with the program for 55 minutes, the fastest hour in broadcasting, I don't know what else I can offer. Juniper will be making her appearance at the end of today's show. So make sure that you stick around for that. Also, we've got quite a lot that we need to cram into the show today. We've got some feedback from Celtic Throne, the Colorado Springs show just the other night. Didn't have time to squeeze that into yesterday's show. Sam filling in for me, as you saw. We'll play that here in just a minute. And then also the World Watch as well, the weekly installment, the Friday installment of World News. Keeping your eye on everything significant that's happening worldwide. So coming back to Celtic Throne, they I believe they're in Southern California for Sunday night. And then we've got two shows, I believe it's Wednesday and Thursday of next week, also in Southern California, Irving, California. And then after that, following next weekend, Sunday, we've actually got a personal appearance campaign scheduled for Phoenix. I'll be speaking in Phoenix Sunday afternoon, June 30th. And then we have a Celtic Throne not that far from the venue where I'll be speaking that night, Sunday evening, and then another show on Monday evening, July the 1st. So we're coming down to the end of the wire for the Celtic Throne tour this summer. Of course, they return to Edmond, Oklahoma, where they'll be performing the finale, I guess you could say. That's on July the 7th, a Sunday afternoon performance as well. Just go to CelticThrone.com to secure your tickets for any of those upcoming shows. Here's a little bit of feedback that we had from Colorado Springs, clip 9.
Wonderful. Really enjoyed it. I haven't stopped smiling the whole time. It was really amazing.
Oh, it's great. It's really fantastic.
Your favorite part?
I really enjoyed the Parting Glass song. It was great. But costumes, singing, it's all fantastic.
Phenomenal. Like, I'm a 7-year-old kid going, I want to do that when I grow up. And I am a full-grown adult. And it's absolutely phenomenal.
The kids are wonderful. It's great. We loved it. It was a lot of fun. A lot of energy out of those kids. Mm-hmm. Love the little tiny kids, too.
It was really good. I wanted to congratulate her for her singing. It was amazing. Absolutely beautiful. Everything else, it's so great to hear and see the young kids enjoy something that not a lot of people are enjoying this now time, and it lives another generation on.
Oh, it was super fantastic. I mean,
it took our breath away.
Yes.
It was really fantastic. Yeah, and just the talent,
energy.
The multi-talent of every music, singing, dancing, the instruments.
Yes.
It was excellent. So
excellent.
We were standing ovation.
Talent off the scale, phenomenal. Yes. Every minute, the whole thing, the originality, the energy. Off the scale, phenomenal, once again. So, yeah, it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I've seen shows my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And been in shows. It's incredible. You're literally incredible. We're blown away. I'm blown away. I hope the show, like, soars to the top.
Yes.
Of anywhere you have some cool manager do. But, I mean, yeah, the talent. Can't get over it.
We were teachers, okay?
Yeah.
That is like icing on the cake. No, cherries on the cake. Because, the talent of everyone blows me away.
Literally everything was my favorite part. I was in tears for most of it.
It was really good. And the surprising thing was the really little children, how good they were.
Yeah.
At that age.
Great.
It was great.
You want to dance now, don't you?
Uh-huh.
It was very uplifting. Especially at the end.
We are absolutely blown away. All of us we didn't have any expectations coming in, and just were absolutely blown away. Amount of talent. Just, yeah, it's unbelievable.
I thought it was amazing, incredible, so exciting to watch these kids love what they do and do what they love is spectacular. And the hard work that they must have to put in all the time to do it is a testament to how much it means to them. And that comes out in what they do and how they act. It's spectacular. Spectacular.
It was absolutely amazing. Their footwork, their arms were together. When they would do their jumps, they were all in sync. So it was like one big group at one time. It was amazing. Their formations were just phenomenal. Everything was really, really good.
Cool.
Yeah. Coming from another dancer, it was amazing to see. Made me tear up, but it was really good. See Michael Flatley, we've seen it all, so they were amazing. They're doing really well.
I thought it was fantastic, especially the ending. It's just so exciting, and it's so fun to leave on such a high note. It's awesome. Just awesome.
Pretty amazing feedback, as per usual. Even hearing that, that's the first time I've heard that feedback from dancers and teachers. It's awesome to think about what a bunch of amateurs have pulled off. Of course, we feel like God really did inspire the choreography, the music, just the putting together of that show 5 years ago. And it's still going strong. A few more shows remain on this tour in Southern California, in Phoenix, and then, of course, one here in Edmond, Oklahoma, on July 7th. So coming back to Donald Trump and just how he's absolutely crushing it This article from, what is it, Fox News. Biden pulled in $85 million in May. And the story here says, but the money raised by Biden and the DNC is far short of the staggering haul raised by former President Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee last month. It says in announcing their May fundraising figures on Thursday evening, the Biden campaign also highlighted that they had a massive $212 million cash on hand as of the end of May. But then it goes on later and says that Donald Trump pulled in $141 million in May. I mean, this is the month in which it was announced that he's convicted. He's as you'll probably hear on the debate stage next week, he's a convicted felon. 34 counts. $141 million. It says here, former President Donald Trump arrives at Trump Tower on May 30th, 2024 in New York City after being found guilty on 34 counts. It says, spotlighting their grassroots appeal, the Trump campaign said that the average dollar donation was $70, with 25% of the donors in May being first-time contributors. Donald Trump, he's getting people interested in politics. Donald Trump, that's right. The outsider, the felon, the Hitler, whatever you want to label him with. $141 million, 25% first-time donors. I mean, these are staggering figures. Like you heard there in the cold open. I mean, he's running neck and neck in Minnesota, a blue state. He has a chance in Virginia. He has a chance in Nevada. Forget about the swing states. This is just remarkable to watch. Frank Luntz was in that cold open there. It says here, Trump lost, this is from the Daily Caller, Trump lost Minnesota in both the 2016 and 2020 elections, with Biden presently leading the former president by 2.3% in a two-way race. Luntz on CNN described the race being close in such a Democratic-leaning state as noteworthy and highlighted the significance of Trump polling well against Biden despite his recent felony conviction. So we're far enough along now where we've got polls that have come in following the bogus felony conviction, and it shows that it hasn't hurt him at all. If anything, it's helping him. I mean, for the Trump campaign to nearly double Biden's haul from the month of May. Next week, I think it's a week from yesterday, so it'll be next Thursday. That's when they square off on the debate stage. I think Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, and then you've got the fake president. So it's basically Trump against three. You know the way CNN's going to approach this. And they've already set up ground rules to where Trump cannot interrupt. You know, when it's not his turn to speak, his mic is cut off. And that even seems ridiculous just from a ratings standpoint. Usually you kind of want them to spice things up. But not this time around. I mean, they even if Trump's message is popular, they censor him. They won't play you his speeches at rallies. They just tell you what to believe. And then, like I pointed out earlier this week, if Biden, I mean, if somebody produces a so-called cheap fake of Biden, then they're encouraging you to watch the whole video. Make sure you see everything in context. If only they were that fair-minded with Donald Trump. So it's Trump against three, basically. It's Trump against the fake president and CNN. And he'll keep campaigning for the next 5-6 days. Biden, however, I mean, he's basically hibernating for the next 6 days to get ready. He's the president of the United States of America. And he has no engagements scheduled for the next 6 days. He's got to get ready for the debate. Everything is riding on this debate. Listen to the talking heads. as they discuss it. Clip 7.
This is the entire election as far as I'm concerned. The entire world will be watching. If you are a carbon-based life form, you're going to be watching. If you've got a functioning brainstem, you're going to be watching. Because if Biden goes out there and messes up, it's game over.
President Biden is going to have to do something dramatic to convince people that he has the mental acuity to last 4 more years in that office.
With Biden, everyone knows, like, will he come out of this night looking sprightish, looking like someone who can handle another 4 years in office, dispelling the concerns around his strength and stamina?
The president knows that it's so easy to get under Donald Trump's skin. And I think that if I'm Biden, this is the moment when you're face-to-face, toe-to-toe, in person, where you call him a convicted criminal. And I think doing that at the right moment in the debate will send Donald Trump spiraling.
86% of voters think Biden is too old for the job, and his approval rating is literally at a historic low and has stayed there for at least the last year and a half. And so there's no benefit to being Biden in this debate. There's no benefit of incumbency. There's really nothing except for a huge opportunity for him to have more gaffes and more missteps.
There's a sense that, because the Biden can really push for it, no crowd, because Trump plays off the crowd so well, he'll be deprived of that.
Well, the Biden campaign needs to set the narrative early that Biden is competent and capable to lead going forward, and he absolutely cannot have a senior moment at this debate.
But I'm also told that we should expect some surprises as well, because this is such a critical performance for President Biden, not only on the content, but on his physical performance as well.
His physical performance? What are we talking about here? I mean, the man's in his 80s. He's an old man. Okay. We all know this. We see this. But they're talking about some kind of physical dominance? Are you serious? And then on the other hand, they've set the bar so low. As long as he doesn't have a senior moment, he wins. And Trump has even pointed this out. If he just makes it through, he wins, according to the Morning Meltdown. Oh, yes, they will declare him the winner. If he doesn't pass out or fall down on the stage, he wins. This is from the Morning Brief. I've talked this week about the attacks on the Supreme Court. And of course, if this is a close election and the Supreme Court in any way gets involved, these radicals will reject it. For all their talk about, listen, we've got to follow the decisions of Mershon or whoever else it is, or a jury of your peers. You listen to the way they talk about the Supreme Court, it really is pretty disgusting. No respect whatsoever for the Supreme Court. All respect for Judge Mershon's court. Okay. Listen to this from MSNBC, clip 4.
We've now been waiting 113 days and counting for a decision. Well, every day that passes makes it more and more likely that Donald Trump will not face legal accountability before the election for his attempted insurrection. But the voters will not be provided information about whether or not he is guilty of this grave crime. And amid that backdrop, it really feels like this Supreme Court is acting less like a court and more like a right-wing legislature appointed for life. The conservative majority, including 3 justices appointed by Donald Trump, increasingly behaves like they have a political agenda to carry out. And as we have seen, particularly with Justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, they are making incredible ethical compromises to get it all done.
Particularly Thomas and Alito. There's some special contempt for those two because they're probably the 2 most conservative on the bench. So they hate them some Supreme Court, that's for sure. And as I covered earlier this week, Amos 7, verse 13, my father has mentioned before how that the Supreme Court, somehow, some way, I mean, they're going to factor into these crazy times that we're living in. There is support for the end time Jeroboam coming from the kingdom's court. Listen again to these attacks. Here's clip 5.
I think it's important for people to understand that
in the conservatives' own mind, in the Republican-owned groupthink, they're on their revenge tour. If they could pass a law banning abortion, if they could pass a law allowing anybody and their mother to own guns, I'd like to see them try. They would lose elections. But because they would lose elections right. that way, that's why they've gone to their conservative buddies at the Supreme Court.
It's all stacked against the Marxist radicals. In fact, it's just the opposite. This is from Richard Palmer's Morning Brief on Steve Bannon. Donald Trump's ally, Steve Bannon, is set to go to jail in just a few days after the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit upheld his conviction. It says Bannon asked for his sentence to be postponed while he appealed his contempt of Congress conviction. Prosecutors said that postponing the sentence would violate the bedrock principle of equal justice under the law. All right, then. Let's see if that's the same message they have. When you have a Republican in the White House, when you have Republicans controlling the House and possibly the Senate, too. It's all about equal justice under the law. This is what they're worried about when they talk about the revenge tour. They're worried about an administration that would hold them to account. That's coming. You hear it. You hear it when you read between the lines of these people that just go on and on about how terrified they are should Donald Trump return. Richard says here, that's ironic because those who aren't Trump supporters don't get sent to jail for contempt of Congress. Yeah, see Eric Holder. If you're a Democrat, you can be held in contempt, no problem, and nothing happens. Listen to this. This is Andrew Weissman, the pit bull. Here he is, waxing eloquent about the Supreme Court, clip 6.
Ginni Thomas and Mrs. Alito are on the side where the Department of Justice has sent hundreds of people to jail. That is the side they're on, the criminals. It also happens to be Donald Trump's side, but it is the largest prosecution in the history of the Department of Justice. And Mrs. Alito and Mrs. Thomas are on that side. It is so twisted.
There's just no way that they're going to say that there are five justices, you say, that a president is immune from this particular criminal case. If they're going to say that, I mean, you know what? We are so gone as a country if they go down that road that I really can't contemplate it because there really is no check then on executive power. You really end up, as Marcus said, with the Supreme Court disgracing itself in terms of adherence to the rule of law. It is might makes right in the very last place in our democracy where that should be the rule. It does not almost matter if the court writes a big flowery decision about how presidents are not above the law. That is irrelevant because what they have held de facto is this president is. And everything that happened on January 6th is being whitewashed by the fact that they have sat on this case.
They've put thousands in jail. They're targeting Republicans right across the country, Republican politicians and attorneys. But they fear the tables turning on them should Trump return. And of course, God says that he will. I've mentioned this book so many times, America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of this, make sure that you call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. You can get to all of our literature, which is offered without cost or obligation. It's offered freely at our website. Just go to thetrumpet.com. But by all means, call the operators today. Again, all that we need is your mailing address. There's no cost, no obligation at all. This is from ABC News. Again, just to give you a pretty good idea of whose side the Joe Obama administration is on. Very revealing. ABC News says the Manhattan District Attorney's Office on Tuesday on Thursday, moved to dismiss the charges against most of the pro-Palestinian protesters, that would be pro-Hamas, arrested at Columbia University and nearby City College. Remember that? They took over sections of the university at Columbia. This was in New York City. And they get off scot-free. Oh, yes. You've got to get the January 6th protesters. We've got to demonstrate that nobody is above the law. I mean, we're upholding the rule of law. Like Nicole Wallace says there, hey, this is the biggest investigation in the history of the DOJ. Mrs. Alito, Mrs. Thomas, they're on the side of the criminals. No, it's actually the exact opposite. You're on the side of the criminals. Because here are the talking heads cheering this on. If you take over Columbia University, if you come out in droves to show your support for Hamas, well, then you are to be protected. You are not to go to jail. You are to live free and easy. And it really is sickening stuff. You talk about, as I said yesterday, you talk about an upside down world. And yet, despite all this, look at Israel quietly just going about its business, obliterating Hamas. Bibi Netanyahu having somewhat of a political resurgence. It's pretty incredible. God's exposing Antiochus. He's exposing the dear leader. And the dear leader wants to destroy Bibi, wants to destroy Israel, wants to empower Hamas. Let's just say it like it is. Everything that the dear leader engages in over there, it just turns out, well, not just in Israel, but all over the world. There are spectacular backfirings going on everywhere that you look. The New York Times says here, the $230 million temporary pier that the U.S. military built on short notice to rush humanitarian aid to Gaza has largely failed in its mission. The Joe Obama people, they can't even come in there and build a pier. It's kind of like these EV stations that are supposed to be all over the place. Billions and billions went to it. And what do we have? After 2 or 3 years, we've got like 7 or 8 EV the electric, you know, stations where you can go and plug in your car and wait for 45 minutes before it's charged. 7 or 8? It says here, in the month since it was attached to the shoreline, the pier has been in service only about 10 days. It's comical. It's tragic and it's comical. Is this for real? These people, everything they touch, they ruin. The pier was never meant to be more than a stopgap measure while the Biden administration pushed Israel to allow more food and other supplies into Gaza through land routes, a far more efficient way to deliver relief. It says, but even the modest goals for the pier are likely to fall short. Likely to fall short. Of course. Of course. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, for months, Yehia Sinwar has resisted pressure to cut a ceasefire and hostages deal with Israel. Behind his decision, messages the Hamas military leader in Gaza has sent to mediators show is a calculation that more fighting and more Palestinian civilian deaths work to his advantage. So here's a Hamas leader who realizes that, hey, as long as we continue to fight, as long as we continue the resistance, as long as more Palestinians are casualties in this war, that helps our effort. That supports our cause. So why should we compromise with those dirty Jews? Why should we give back hostages? These are the kinds of people that Joe Obama is trying to empower. As I say, it's pretty sickening stuff. Fighting between Israeli forces and Hamas units in the Gaza Strip's south has disrupted humanitarian aid shipments, caused mounting civilian casualties, and intensified international criticism of Israel's efforts to eradicate the Islamist extremist group. These are the people we're negotiating with. Joe Obama. Joe Obama wants Hamas to survive and to be fully intact so that it can attack Israel again. Listen to this from Secretary of State Blinken. This was from, I think, last week, clip 10.
Based on what we saw last night, the response from Hamas, numerous changes proposed to the deal that was on the table and that the entire world has gotten behind, but some of those are workable changes. But based on what we've seen and what I've discussed with the Prime Minister and what we discussed with our Egyptian colleagues, we're determined to try to bridge the gaps.
Yeah, we just want to keep working with them. Keep bringing them to the negotiating table. These are reasonable people, says America's Secretary of State. So let's keep the negotiations alive. Hamas knows they can play America like a fiddle. They know it. And they admit it. The longer this is dragging on, the more it helps us. We've just got to make sure that more Palestinians are killed in the crossfire. And then we'll win it out. It's a test of endurance. Well, all of that said, you look at what Israel is quietly accomplishing, what Benjamin Netanyahu is quietly accomplishing. It's pretty amazing. This is from Lee Smith. We've had him on this program. He posted this over at the website Tablet. He says, Israel is winning is the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Israel's winning this. We know because first, they've managed enough room to operate so that they're still taking down large. Where's page 6 in my notes? Here we are. Still taking down large numbers of Hamas fighters. It strikes me that if you've killed more than a quarter of an adversary's forces on its ground, forces that are deeply dug in fact, secreted away in tunnels, you are winning. Also, by targeting the White House with his video about Biden withholding arms, Bibi took the initiative away from the administration and put them on the defensive in an election year. It's another front that the admin has to fight on, meaning it saps resources from the war the White House really wants to fight, which is its war to save Hamas. So Joe Obama's in a difficult position here. They've got to appeal to the Arabs in Dearborn, Michigan. All of those Hamas supporters that turned out to take over Columbia University, they've got to win them over. And they're unhappy with Joe Obama. They're unhappy with this administration. They want them to really come out hard against the Jews. And then Joe Obama's got to be careful there because they want the Jewish vote in America too. It says, meanwhile, Trump just continues to pull in hundreds of millions of dollars. Pretty remarkable to watch. It says reports of Israel's failures, quote unquote, should remind us of how we've learned to understand and read Obama faction propaganda from the Iran deal and Russiagate through January 6th and now the Gaza war. So much propaganda. Lee Smith notes. He's right. He was on the Iran propaganda from the very beginning. He says here, what we see is not only that Israel is winning its too long war against Hamas, but also that Bibi, fending off Israel's superpower patron and the domestic rivals sponsored by the U.S. while destroying an Iranian proxy, is pulling off one of the most spectacular political and military victories in recent memory. It's pretty amazing. Again, you can see God's hand in this, just like you see it in the resurgence headed up by Donald Trump. They're going against everything. Bibi, I mean, the forces aligned against him. They're just as powerful as they are here in the United States. The forces aligned against Donald Trump. And yet God is intervening. He's intervening to expose this Marxist radical leftism. He's going to intervene to make sure that even the name of Israel is not blotted out. When we come back, we've got a short Bible study segment for today. Also, the World Watch segment. And then we're going to be visiting with our dog, the program's dog. We'll just call her the program's dog. This is Take Your Dog to Work Day. And so we'll be introducing Juniper at the end of the show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius proposed a new form of military service on June 12th as the country looks for ways to increase its troop numbers and military power. Conscription, which was suspended in 2011, will not be reinstated. However, young men will have to answer a mandatory questionnaire about their interest and ability to serve. Women will be sent the questionnaire as well, but it is not compulsory for them to complete it. Based on the responses, the Bundeswehr will select the most motivated and best qualified individuals after a medical examination. Those selected will serve in the military for 6 months with an option for voluntary service up to an additional 17 months. After that, they have the option to become part of the military or reserves. Pistorius has repeatedly said military service was necessary because Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine puts Europe at risk of war. The Trumpet keeps a close eye on changes within the German military because of Bible prophecy. To learn more about the critical importance of Germany's military, read Germany's Astonishing Military Rise. China's unlawful and belligerent behavior in the South China Sea has become an existential issue for the Philippines, Defense Secretary Gilbert Teodoro said in an interview with the Financial Times published on June 11th. In recent months, the Chinese have targeted Philippine military personnel near the Second Thomas Shoal. International law designates the Second Thomas Shoal as being within the Philippines' exclusive economic zone. However, China disregards international law and claims the shoal and nearly the entire South China Sea as its own. Its operatives use military-grade lasers and water cannons to prevent the Philippines from resupplying its garrison on the shoal. The South China Sea is a critical shipping lane that China seeks to control. To learn more about China's aggressive actions in this key waterway and other areas worldwide, read China is steering the world toward war. 75% of Palestinians are satisfied with Hamas's performance in its war against Israel, according to a poll published by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research on June 12. This disproves Joe Biden's claim that Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people. It constitutes the highest level of support for Hamas since its October 7, 2023 attack and illustrates the futility of the two-state solution. Even if Hamas were destroyed, most Palestinians would continue to support its ideologies and methods, including its goal to destroy Israel. The struggle for Jerusalem is ultimately prophesied to lead to the largest conflict in the Middle East's history, a clash that will start nuclear World War III. To learn more about the history and prophecy of this important region, read our free booklet, Jerusalem and Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There you go, the latest installment of World Watch. Lots and lots that we're packing into today's show. Don't forget about Juniper's appearance. She's making herself ready with the makeup artist and the hair, all the good stuff. She'll look beautiful, trust me. The other day, I was going through, it was a sermon that Herbert Armstrong gave, The Real Purpose of the Church. I was listening to it actually last week, and he had this section toward the end of the message about just how unique and special the body of Christ is, a unique family that's called out, that's set apart. The Bible talks about God's family as being a special treasure. They've been brought out of the world, this present evil world, as it's called in Galatians 1. In verse 4, notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6. This is verse 16. It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We're the spiritual temple of God. You can read about Solomon's temple in 1st and 2nd Chronicles and see where, you know, the house, God's house, was just filled with glory, filled with godly brilliance. This was after Solomon's prayer of dedication. It says that God just filled that house. That's what he wants to fill the spiritual temple with. Glory and brilliance, his power. That's who we are. Again, this is how the Bible speaks of God's people. It's not that we want to be, you know, full of ourselves and certainly not have vanity, but we do need to understand and realize who we are, how special we are. As God sees it, we're a special treasure. Jewels, fine jewels. It is true that he calls the lowly of this world. 1 Corinthians 1 brings that out. But as Herbert Armstrong so often said, I mean, God didn't call us to stay there, to remain there. We're royalty. We're upholders of God's royal law. Read James chapter 2. Here in 2 Corinthians, this is chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." We've got to come out of this world. We've got to be separate from this world. I mean, the mindset that we have is that we don't want to be part of this world in any way. The world, the way God sees it, it's impure, it's unclean. Now, it's a process, a life of conversion in God's church. And we may take little baby steps at the outset, but it's important that we're going in the right direction. In that sermon I mentioned, Mr. Armstrong, back in 1982, I mean, he's talking about, you know, what your minds are set on. And we'll go to Romans 8 here if we have time. But that we've got to put away carnality and fill up on righteousness. Matthew 6:33, called to be separate. Verse 18, "I will receive you," Paul says in verse 17, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I mean, you're coming into a special family, a peculiar people, as Peter wrote, a valuable treasure, a holy nation. God wants us to be holy as he is holy. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 2. This is that section of scripture where it talks about us being a peculiar treasure in God's eyes. Verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes," it says, "desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." I mean, we have a strong desire for God's truth, for God's food, for God's drink. Verse 3, it says, "If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And verse 5 continues, "You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We are God's church. We are an holy priesthood, it says here. We're in training to teach the world, to be the bride of Jesus Christ, to bring children into the God family. What an exciting calling that is. This is why God's people have been called out in advance. It's not because God's playing favorites. He needs a bride for his son. We're called the first fruits in Scripture. There's going to be other fruits to come along in to the family of God. Second, third, fourth, fifth. The first fruits marry the first of the first fruits, and that would be Jesus Christ. God is a family. All of this and more is explained in Mystery of the Ages, the final work of Herbert Armstrong. He printed that in 1985. He finished it in Jerusalem in the middle of 1985. He handed it out to the sophomore class at Ambassador College in September of 1985. And his vision, I mean, he knew how important the training was for God's students at God's college. And he knew that some would only go for 2 years. Others would go 4 years. So he wanted the second year class to get this magnificent summary of God's purpose and plan. And all that's spelled out in Mystery of the Ages. So that was to be the textbook. It still is for God's college today. The textbook for fundamentals of theology. These are fundamental teachings of the church. Second year at God's college, Mystery of the Ages. And of course, it's not just a textbook for students at God's college. It's for you too. And so you can call our 800 number and request your free copy. No cost, no obligation. Coming back to this passage in 1 Peter 2, it says in verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious." The margin says, he's an honor. We praise our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven. "But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed," it says, "the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So to the world, you see, the stone that is Jesus Christ, he's a stumbling block, because the world doesn't want to obey. The people of this world have a built-in hostility toward God and God's law. I mean, this is why they put Jesus Christ to death. That's the way the world treated the Son of God. He was a light coming into this dark world. And what did they do? Well, human beings just want to stamp that out. They want to blot it out. Verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see, God's called us out of this dark and evil world. And he wants us to be people who are declaring this marvelous light. He wants us to be people who understand and know just how precious we are if God's living in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, it says over in Colossians 1. Notice Romans 12. I think we can finish over here. Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, we are brought into the church so that we can live a different way of life, so that we can come out of this world and be filled with the righteousness of God, and be filled with the God family vision, and be filled with this marvelous light. What a blessed transformation that is. It's not easy. It's difficult to live God's way of life. It is the straight and narrow way, but look at what God is creating in us. Look at what God is perfecting in us, as I say. That and more in Mystery of the Ages. I'm also thinking of the God family vision. Call our operators and request both of those books and delve into this exciting study. When we come back, you will finally get to meet Juniper on Take Your Dog to Work Day. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
And welcome back to the show on Take Your Dog to Work Day. This is June 21st, and this here is Juniper, and she loves cheese. I've got a little snack for her. She's almost 2 years old. She loves the Trumpet Daily. She's got her own Twitter page or X page, Juniper Fleury. Just seek that out on Twitter, even though it's been a little inactive lately. So she's happy. She loves the campus. She loves her dad, she loves her mom, she loves Vienna, she loves all of the students on campus, and we're having a big bash with her, actually, next week. And now she's enjoying a nice little drink there. So, that's all that we have for today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week. And we'll see you next time.